Thank you. I've noticed that often when the subject of other faiths is brought up in conversation, if you've got a sort of very conservative Christian, part of that conversation, sooner or later this verse can pop out. No one comes to the Father except by me. Almost like a rabbit out of the hat as a final way of dismissing the possibility of good and genuine meaning being found in any other religion. This particular verse is often taken to mean that since Jesus appears to be saying that he is essential to salvation, it therefore follows that Christ, and hence Christianity, is the only religion that counts. Well, regrettably, or not, it's also only too obvious that if this is placed alongside a basic intolerance of anyone who is different, who has a different faith, then it acts as an excuse for riding roughshod over anyone following another faith. And whichever way you look at it, there's plenty of evidence to suggest that often the excused intolerance then becomes just a very short step to overlooking acts of unkindness. I remember reading in one of history's many periods of picking on the Jews to the point where they were persecuted and sometimes killed in racist pogroms and driven out of many countries. Following reports that the Jews on Crete were being mistreated, the leader of the Greek Orthodox Church, Patriarch Metrophanes III, wrote a letter to the Greek Orthodox Church in Crete in 1568, this is. And the document written by the Patriarch states this: injustice, regardless of whomever acted upon or performed against, is still injustice. In short, he was saying, you can't actually be Christian without embracing tolerance as part of Christian love. So I want to suggest that coming to the Father by Jesus doesn't mean, in fact, adopting a formula for salvation as much as adopting a way of life of the sort Jesus not only advocated, but lived. He offered compassion to the heretic Samaritans. That's why, isn't it? That's why he cured the Samaritan leper. He broke the social taboos by spending time with the Samaritan woman at the well. The story of the Good Samaritan, again, is giving this point. We can hardly say, can we, that we're coming to the Father by accepting the way of Jesus without also accepting his good example and making time for those who we may think are heretics. Okay, a test. We might get religious visitors from other faiths from time to time. How do we accept them? How do we show? How do we show that we have accepted the way of Jesus? When you see a Jewish man in his very traditional dress, or a Muslim woman in her hijab, what do you think? What thoughts go through your mind? And another test, Jesus said, forgive 70 times 7. Forgiveness is therefore high on his list of attitudes, which are part of his ways. We could ask, are we as forgiving as Jesus was forgiving? And remember, he wouldn't let Peter defend him when he was taken for crucifixion. He forgave people time after time. He was even reported as offering forgiveness to a robber on the cross. Do our attitudes to crime take this into account, or do we only advocate punishment? If coming to the Father by Christ means adopting Jesus' way, maybe we ought to think a little bit about our attitudes to forgiveness, whether it be attitudes to those who live in our society or those who live elsewhere. Do we, for example, agree that those in our families, those who offend against society, or even those who offend our nation by attacking our allies, are to be forgiven? I'd like to suggest that placing Christianity ahead of other religions might need a rethink. In the light of another of Jesus' sayings in reply to the question, Master, when did we see you hungry? You know Jesus' reply. I tell you the truth, when you refuse to help the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were refusing to help me. So I wonder if coming to the Father by the way of Jesus is tied to such attitudes to others, regardless of which faith leads us to that point. And strangely enough, many who remember that Jesus said, "No one comes to the Father except by me," forget the next bit of what he said. He said, "You will do greater work than these." This isn't so much a challenge to outdo the Master in the miracle department, so much as it is to a call to pick up that essential mission and take it further. We do ourselves an injustice if we think the essential mission is to come to church and to listen. I'd like to take this one step further. If our faith has nothing to do with the real world, why would we bother to have faith at all? And can I suggest that, as well as the Bible, we should look to the daily news to keep us informed, to invite us to consider where we might help in mission? This happens large scale as well. Just one tiny example. You may be aware that the UK had a long-standing legal commitment to spend 0.7% of its gross national income on aid. It was established under the UK Parliament in 2015. And that was cut to 0.5% as a temporary fix after COVID. Last year, the government announced a further cut to 0.3% to help fund higher defence spending. Now, I don't want to go into this detail or get into the whys and wherefores about it, but I would suggest it's worth considering that decision. So for roughly £3 a week per taxpayer, there are fewer overseas vaccination programmes. There's less famine relief. There's reduced disaster response. There's weaker diplomatic leverage. There's less stabilization work in fragile states. That's why the critics argue that the savings are very tiny for individuals, but very large internationally and for the people it affects. So put another way, cutting aid from 0.5 to 0.3 saves the average taxpayer about one coffee a week, but actually it's not, is it? Coffee's about £4 plus nowadays. So less than one coffee a week, actually. But loses part of the UK's humanitarian reach, its international influence, its preventative security spending. Now, I'm not going to get political about it. I'm just putting it there as an example of maybe something to look at and to think of. There are others. Because since governments in democracies act on our behalf, I wonder if you think this is right or not. And whatever you think, surely it's worth more than a passing thought. That's my point. And on this and other aspects of our lives, should we not then ask that our government respond in the way of Christ? Should we not be demanding this of our politicians? Should we not hold up their decisions for scrutiny? Now, since Jesus was very clear that the essence of his way was showing love for our neighbour. And then when asked who his neighbour was, he deliberately chose the example of the Samaritan. I can't see that we should pretend that following the way of Jesus is compatible with doing less for our neighbours. Or we might possibly use as an excuse that they have a different religion. Now, I'm sure that you kind of missed the news recently. More attacks on our Jewish communities in our country, this time in Golders Green, just a couple of days ago. And Jonathan Hall KC said, British Jews were now thinking they cannot live a normal life due to a series of incidents in recent months where Jewish communities have been targeted. And I guess when you put all this together, the question should not be who else is eligible to come to the Father in some way. Perhaps the more urgent question is whether or not we realize that coming to the Father by Jesus is so much more than an unrealized faith statement. Perhaps rather it might mean that using Jesus as our way into salvation should simply mean adopting his way as our way. That's an interesting thought, and that's where I'm going to leave it this morning. Amen.